Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Waddle and Sylvie. WMVP Chicago.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It is a Bears victory Monday. Bears scored 20 fourth quarter points with Nick Foles under center. And they beat the Falcons 30-26. They are now 3-0 on the season. Hey, you are what your record says you are. I'm still not. It's like the Cubs. I've been saying forever. Cubs won the division. You get a ton of credit from the start of the season on. How damn good are they? I don't know. I saw Matt Bowen tweet out something, a stat about the Bears defense that was concerning. They're giving up an average of 4.9 yards per carry, almost 5 yards per carry. That's not good. That's got to be tightened up. 4.96 yards per carry. That's definitely got to be tightened up. The offensive line, I thought, played pretty well the first couple weeks of the season. I didn't think they were as good yesterday in Atlanta against a Falcons team that defensively was giving up 39 points per game and had a ton of injuries as well. But the Bears find themselves at 3-0. How damn good are they? I'm not so sure. But the story of the day is that Matt Nagy went ahead and admitted to what we all had accepted as fact anyway, that Nick Foles was going to be the starting quarterback. And it doesn't sound like that's going to be a short-term thing. That's not, hey, Nick's got the job for now, and if he doesn't play well, we're going to go back to Mitch. This one feels permanent unless, God forbid, there's an injury. So how do you feel about it? 312-332-3776. Rick's been waiting in Modesto. Rick, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good. Great show. Enjoy listening.
Thank you, Rick. Oh, Rick fell off. Do you not like what Rick was going to say, Adam? You got the phone to your ear? Did you send Rick away?
Yeah, I accidentally hit the fat fingers, hit the X.
Did you really send Rick away? Rick, call us back. Wait, did you not like where the call was going?
I don't know, man.
Did he say something about LSU to you?
Yeah. No, I told you to take his call. It's my fault.
Good job, man.
All right.
You're asking for an analogy from me. You know what that
was?
Yes,
you still haven't given
right
me
there.
One.
That was Mitch missing a receiver open
wide
down
open.
The field.
Okay,
right down the
good.
Field.
And we
right
schemed
there.
It. We schemed
yeah.
it open for you.
Do you want to know what I was trying to do?
Rich was open.
Were you trying to make a bet? Were you trying to make a bet?
No. I was actually trying to call. I'll tell you his name. I was actually trying to call Angelo Tenorelli, the winner of our quarterback carousel contest, because Nick Foles will be officially starting week 4. And my fat fingers misdialed a number, so I had to hang up the phone. And when I hit the X to hang up, it hung up on both lines instead of just one line.
We had this conversation on the text chain. Before, I want to apologize to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, too, at some point, so remind me about that. Remind me what the rules were about this. I was under the impression, and we had a text chain going that was questioning whether or not whoever had week 3 was the winner.
No, it was who would be the starter.
Okay.
That was
what
it. Not when,
would he
when
be...
someone will play.
Okay.
So, because wasn't Sylvie using
the... He was the starter in the second half of yesterday's game.
No, he wasn't. Trubisky started the second half.
Trubisky started the second half.
Well, he was your quarterback.
Yeah. But, like, wasn't Sylvie's logic all along that they would be bad?
And they'd have to make a change.
And then the following week would be the week that wins.
Listen, I'm fine with it either way. I just didn't know the exact. So, who was our winner who had week 4?
Angelo Tenorelli.
Okay, Angelo Tenorelli.
Yes. And so Rick is back, by the way.
Right, don't hang up on him.
Rick is back. All right, Rick, sorry about that. Abdallah has fat fingers.
What a way to start the 5 o'clock hour of Victory Monday.
Yeah.
Man, I thought I said something bad. I said Mitchell Trubisky. That's not a bad word.
Dirty words around here right now with my guys behind the glass.
Hey, Tom. What I was saying is great show. Really appreciate it. It's great to have Chicago radio in my ear while I'm mowing the lawn today. So
awesome.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, I got a couple thoughts or questions for you. First thing I wanted to ask you about is, did you see Kyle Long's comments on Twitter? I know you weren't on there a lot, but yesterday he's like, is it possible that we can make a substitution for the play caller? So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. My next thing was I wanted to ask you about Robert Quinn. Are you concerned? I know we're only two games in, but unlike Khalil Mack, you don't see him getting mauled a lot on the defensive side. Are you worried about his production two games in? I guess as a fan, I expected a little bit more. But again, it doesn't always show up on paper, I guess. And then my last more of a couple comments were, I think that the offensive line is going to be, there's going to be a lot more pressure on them to perform. You don't have the mobility that you have with Trubisky as what you have with Foles. And so I think it's going to be really important that they hold up and really keep a clean pocket. I know that yesterday, even with some pressure, Foles just threw a dime to Anthony Miller, but I think that they are going to need to be able to hold that pocket because of the mobility. And then the last thing I just wanted to say is it was great to see my man Greg Braggs stand up, take it to the chin today, be a true player, and really stand up for what he believes in it and make some apologies. So Greg Braggs for president. Keep up the great work, you guys.
All right. Thanks for the call, Rick. Thanks for calling back as well. With regard to Kyle Long, I did see that. I was a little bit perplexed. Like, I didn't think the play calling was bad yesterday. I think in a lot of ways, the play calling can be negatively enhanced by the lack of execution. Like, I thought really I think Matt's had a really good start to the season. I think you could see what he was trying to do the first 2.5 games of the year was try to protect Mitch and not ask him to do too much. And I thought, aside from the third and fourth down calls and the final drive of the Giants game, I thought he has executed the plan pretty well. I'm not sure what Kyle was referencing. I'll have to ask him. In terms of Robert Quinn, I'm not going to panic yet. You saw in his first action against the Giants, he had a strip sack, I think, on the first play that he was in. I don't see him on the stat sheet from yesterday, so he didn't show up, obviously. There wasn't a lot of a contribution. I think he was a fantastic addition at the I said that in the offseason, so I'm not going to jump to any conclusions right now. I'm still very happy that Robert Quinn is part of that Bears defense. The offensive line, I didn't think played as well yesterday as they did the first two games of the season, and I think it was reflected in their lack of success running the football. They ran it 25 times for 130 yards. That's a 5.2 yard per carry average. But 45 of those yards came in the scramble by Mitch. I know they count, but if you subtract them, they had less than 100 yards rushing. So I didn't think it was as good. I will say this. I thought David Montgomery had some pretty nasty, and by that I mean good, short carries. And by that I mean he didn't get very far. But without his power and agility, he would have been stopped for a loss. I the more I see of David Montgomery, the more I like him.
My favorite part about Montgomery is usually when he gets hit, he doesn't go backwards.
Yes.
I like that he finds a way to get an extra half yard, yard, 2 yards.
He's hard to bring down with one guy, too.
Always moving forward. I like that.
I will say this as well with regard to protecting the quarterback from the offensive line. Mitch is a better athlete than Nick Foles. Nick's a more cerebral quarterback and has a better feel in the pocket. So what Nick lacks in terms of athletic ability, his experience and his intelligence, his football IQ, help him. Again, statistically, yesterday Mitch was sacked twice in 22 attempts. Nick Foles was not sacked a single time in 29 attempts. So Nick does a nice job shuffling away from pressure, climbing the pocket when necessary, and getting rid of the football. Like the touchdown he threw to Anthony Miller, you probably didn't follow. I mean, you followed the ball and you saw the touchdown, and everyone's talking about how Nick made the call at the line of scrimmage and coming out of the huddle. Nick said to Anthony Miller, I'm going to throw it to the L, get to the L. But what you don't recognize probably if you haven't seen the play over and over again is he stood tall in the pocket and took the hit. And as he releases the football, not only does he throw an accurate pass, he's under duress at that time. So I'm not worried, and I think Nick Foles, as I said earlier in the show, go back and look at some of the video of Nick Foles in high school being a basketball player. He's a hell of an athlete. I mean, he's north of 30 right now. He's not the athlete that he once was. He can run the RPO. You're not going to ask him to do it 15 times a game. He's a better athlete than I think some people expect, but he's definitely not Mitch in the pocket. So he's going to have to use his quarterback IQ, his football IQ, to help him at times. Tony's in New Jersey calling us. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Just real quick, with respect to Mitch Trubisky, I'm saying this with all due respect. My analogy is he's a Band-Aid that we need to just pull off, match quickly, instead of slowly pulling it off like we're doing now. And we have to pretty much put this on the plate of Ryan Pace. We spent a number two pick on Trubisky. We now spent a fourth-round pick and guaranteed money in Foles. He's an older quarterback. We're 4 years into this project, which is the project with Trubisky. So where have we gone? We've regressed. The organization now has to stop making these decisions, bad decisions, and make positive decisions. The quarterback that we picked over for Trubisky won Kansas City, won the Super Bowl. So we have to start making smart decisions.
I totally agree with the assessment, Tony. Thanks for the call, that they need to make smarter decisions. But listen, I'm past the point. Maybe I'll never get truly past it, but I can't sit around and worry right now that Ryan made the catastrophic mistake of selecting Mitch ahead of Patrick Mahomes or even Deshaun Watson. You can't sit around and dwell on that. What you got to do is try to find an answer to your problem that you created. They're hoping that Nick Foles is that answer. So far, you kind of liked what you saw from him yesterday. Can he be consistent? Can he be the answer? Can he be average is the question I'm going to ask. Because as I've said from the start, if that offense is average, I trust that the defense will find their rhythm. And ultimately, an average offense and an above average defense will get you to the postseason. So again, as much as it was a catastrophic mistake, I can't continue to live in the past with regard to every day I can't wake up and say, oh my God. Now, that's going to be on full display tonight. Because you're going to watch Kansas City and Baltimore square off. And you're going to see Patrick Mahomes, he of the $500 million contract. And you're going to see Lamar Jackson, who's the reigning MVP of the National Football League. And it's going to sting. I get it. But they have to move on from their mistakes. And hopefully they did that with Nick Foles. Steve's in New Buffalo. Steve, what's happening?
Gentlemen, thank you for having me on. Sure. A wonderful show as always. Thank you. I'd love to get your feedback on this, being the great offensive player you were. Last night during the Packer game, Collinsworth made the comment that because of the lack of the crowd noise, that the smart quarterbacks, such as the Rodgers or a Wilson, it's a lot easier for them to operate out there, and that's why we're seeing the high scores. I'd love to hang up and just listen to what you have to say about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Steve, and it leads me to the apology. And it's not so much an apology, but first of all, I didn't think the Packers were a great 13-3 team last year. They advanced to the NFC title game, but I spent every week saying, I just don't think they're that good, and they ultimately got bounced by the 49ers in the NFC championship game. I came into this year saying, I think they'll regress. I don't think through 3 weeks, I'm more than impressed. I think that they look very comfortable in year two of Matt LaFleur's offense. And Aaron Rodgers is in a take that tour. He's on a true take that tour. Anybody that was doubting whether or not he still had the good stuff, I think he's shown you through 3 weeks that he still has the good stuff. In terms of the no crowd noise, I think that you play with a silent count for the most part when the crowd is so loud that, like, your offensive tackles are looking in at the ball. They're not going off of sound. I heard Chris Collinsworth make that comment as well, that we saw the Saints jump off sides a couple of times because they could hear the inflection in Aaron Rodgers' voice more clearly. So when he gave you that inflection, maybe it forced you to jump, and normally you wouldn't be able to hear the inflection, so you're just looking at the football. Whether you're an offensive tackle or a defensive lineman, there's a lot of instances where the crowd noise is so loud that you're just watching the football. And if you don't have to just watch the football to know when to go and you're actually listening to the snap count, maybe it can have an influence, and I think that's what Chris was talking about. I actually thought that not having any crowd noise is beneficial for young quarterbacks, and I thought it was something that was going to be beneficial, or in some ways was, for Mitch, because you take that stimulus out of the equation. But that's all kind of gone now because Nick Foles is your quarterback. We'll continue to take your calls when we come back, and Marchi and Greco will join us at the bottom of the hour.
3-0 Bears, feeling good about themselves today. Not a perfect team, but so there's a lot of teams around the National Football League that would like to have their record. And, oh, by the way, they have a new quarterback. Nick Foles steps in third quarter yesterday, leads the Bears to victory over the Atlanta Falcons in pretty impressive fashion. Matt Nagy today enunciates what we all believed he would say to us, and that is Nick Foles is your quarterback going forward. Not just for now, not just for a couple of weeks, not in prove-it mode. He is your quarterback for now. In large part because of an offense that really has not found its stride consistently for quite some time. I mean, these struggles go back longer than Mitch Trubisky's era. Dan Weiderer just tweeted this less than an hour ago. Yesterday marked just the 10th time in the past 101 games that the Bears scored 30 points. 10th time in 101 games that the Bears scored 30 points. It was just the 8th time in that span, dating back to week 16 of 2013, that they've done so without a defensive score. So when you talk about the consistent ineptitude of this offense or the lack of consistent performance, it's remarkable, isn't it? 8 times in the last 101 games has a Bears offense produced 30 points on their own. That's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Yesterday was one of those days. Unbelievable. Jonathan's in Humboldt Park. Jonathan, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Good.
I want you to explain something to me. It's been bugging me all day.
Okay.
Like last year, Allen Robinson was involved in the same situation where they caught the ball at the same time, and they ruled it a touchdown. I wonder, could you go over that rule for me? Because it looked like it was the same situation yesterday.
I'm with you, Jonathan. I got two thoughts on this situation, and I'm going to be the only one probably in town that feels this way. But that call, I thought easily, because, Jonathan, it was ruled a touchdown on the field, I thought it was very possible that you were going to get simultaneous possession ruled, because if the play, they're both on the ground, I think you could have made a case that it was too close to call to overturn the touchdown. Now, it was Denard, right, guys? Was it Denard that all ended up with the touchdown as they hit the ground and rolled over? Denard had the ball. I think you could have made a really good case for simultaneous possession. And because of that, I didn't know what the officials were going to do. I could have seen them doing both. Which they did was they ruled it an interception. But I also could have thought they could have left it stand as a touchdown. I know there's a lot of people down on Allen Robinson missing those 50-50 balls. And I get it. And I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm going to also tell you, as I did last week, those are tremendous plays by cornerbacks. Last week, it was Bradbury for the Giants. This week, it was Denard for the Falcons. And I'm telling you, I was doing a little clinic in the office earlier before he came on the air with Abdallah, trying to demonstrate why this was such a great play by the cornerback. Like I said, Adam, hold the ball over kind of out in front of you. Go up and catch it with your hands out in front of you. And I said, I'm going to put my arms outside your frame and see if I can get it away from you, and I can't. When I get my arm inside of your frame and my left arm is on that football, as you're trying to pull it down, it's a very, very difficult play for the receiver. And I get it. Everyone wants this to happen in a way. All right, so those of you who are on Twitch, this is what I'm talking about, okay? So, like, I'm you, the defender, okay? I got to get next to the microphone. You're Allen Robinson. I'm Denard, okay? Ball's coming down. You reach up. If I go like this somehow outside your frame, you're going to pull it in. If somehow, some way, as the defender, when you go up and I go up, I get my left arm underneath inside your frame. Now try to pull it. Okay? Like, I mean, my point is, it's a really, try it again. Like, if you're out here and my arms, and I'm not looking and I see, you can pull it in.
If you're like this and we're
stronger, Abdallah, stronger.
Going this way,
stronger.
I mean, once that cornerback gets his hand inside your frame and gets his hand on the ball, the only point I'm making, I get it. A lot of people want Allen to make that call. I'm not going to try to convince you otherwise. I'm just trying to tell you how good a play that is by a corner, because in a lot of instances, when the corner's got his back, he doesn't get his hand, one of his hands or both of his hands, inside the frame of the wide receiver. It makes it a more, it makes, I mean, listen, if you're a great receiver, I get it. You want to make the case that Allen should have caught one or both of them. Maybe you think I've got receiver bias. That may be true. But I'm not going to hate on Allen Robinson for that. Those were two examples, and I get it. I'm sure people are going to be pissed at me for saying it. Those are two great plays by the cornerback. As soon as that corner gets his hand inside your frame and has his hand on the ball, like, it's a really difficult thing for the receiver to actually complete the catch on that front. So as much as those are catches at times Allen has made, I bet you if you go back and look at them, most of those situations aren't where the defensive back has his arm inside the frame of Allen Robinson or one of the other receivers. It just, I tip my cap. Those guys get paid as well. And I would have loved Allen to catch both of those. I'm not down on Allen Robinson because of that. Maybe, you know, 95 times out of 100, he comes out. I'm just telling you, it's a tougher catch than I think some people realize. That's all I wanted to say. Pat's in on the Eisenhower. Pat, what's happening?
Hey, Victory Monday.
Victory Monday.
Happy that the Mitch Trubisky era hopefully is over for good. But it's good news, bad news, because if Nick Foles is successful now, that means that more than likely Ryan Pace is going to be given the license to draft or select the Bears' next quarterback. And should we really forgive him for what he did to this team by picking Mitch Trubisky?
It's the best question of the day.
I'm not sure I can.
It's the best question of the day, Pat. And I think we really haven't advanced this conversation because of the immediacy of the quarterback change. But Pat's right. Like, if Nick Foles succeeds and this team gets to the postseason, they're still picking a quarterback in the draft, more than likely high. And more than likely, Ryan Pace is going to be given the authority to do so. So where are you at on that, if you're a Bears fan? Because you know that's the reality, as Mark Giangreco sits in. Thanks for the call, Pat. But it's a really good question. And I don't know, I have a great... The only thing I feel really certain about is that if Nick Foles leads this team to the postseason, if this team goes to the postseason, they're not firing anybody in the front office. They're not doing it.
No, they're not. But Nick is not the long-term answer.
He's not. You're right.
But let's just enjoy this moment.
That's what I said.
Let's be positive.
We haven't gotten to this conversation yet, but I do agree that there will be most likely a first-round pick spent on a quarterback in the upcoming draft, at least a second-round pick. There's a long way to go between now and then, but it really is. It's a good macro conversation. In the micro, we're focusing on what happened yesterday.
Absolutely.
And we'll continue to do that when we come back with Mark Giangreco. Mark Giangreco in the studio with a little extra, giddy up in his step as his Buffalo Bills hang on.
Oh, my God.
And beat the Los Angeles Rams.
By virtue of a horrible pass interference call.
You were texting with us, and you were so down. You're like when Sylvie and I are on the same text chain with Mike Wilbon, and he rides the roller coaster with the teams.
But you know what? Then I turn it around and say, that's what the Rams get for destroying the Saints season with that bogus no-call pass interference. Now, this was not pass interference at all, but Josh Allen came down and threw the touchdown pass. And Josh Allen is what everybody wanted Mitch Trubisky to be.
I said this to you guys. I think, and again, don't get me wrong, I know the Bills weren't perfect yesterday. In fact, they had a huge lead and they coughed it up. But I said to you guys, the Bills are the team that I was hoping the Bears were going to become. Young quarterback making strides. Like, mm-hmm. I was not a Josh Allen, guy last year.
We had a lot of reservations. His accuracy was poor. It's better now.
Yes,
he's going to make some knucklehead mistakes.
Stephon Diggs, having him in your huddle helps.
So tremendous. Plus, You cannot take him down.
Right.
You got two linebackers and two DBs hanging on his face mask.
And you got a fantastic defense. So my point is I don't want to spend the whole day talking about the Bills.
Right. Get it out of the way.
I thought that the Bears, like, that's who I was hoping the Bears were going to be.
No shot, because we go back and forth on the quarterback thing, and it's about time. But the defense is a major concern as you go into this Colts
game. I saw Matt Bowen tweeted a stat that the Bears so far in 3 weeks are giving up 4.96 yards per carry, almost 5 yards per carry.
Well, here's the thing. Look, me being the number one Mitch hater that I get nailed for all the time. Look, I was never a big fan from day one. It was a major, major mistake on Ryan Pace's part. Young GM trying to make his mark, pulling this guy out of the hat. I always make the analogy of Scottie Pippen. Nobody knew who he was. Boom, superstar. Not going to happen. Look, we're past the point, thank God, of worrying about Mitch's feelings.
Yeah.
Okay, really good guy, great teammate.
Handled
coaches
himself yesterday after the game like
so
a true
pro. And you know that he is respected because you see Khalil Mack go over and hug him. Then you see Ryan take him aside after the game is over and talk to him. So, okay, all that stuff. Works really hard. Cannot start in the NFL, period. We've known
Can't take you to where you need to go.
Having said all that, I was surprised when he got yanked. I thought they were going to wait till next week and announce Foles during the week of prep for the Colts. So, and then Matt, again today, tried to describe the so-called gut feeling that he had. Well, that pick was it for me. And missing Allen Robinson, throwing inside instead of outside. It just kept piling up to where Matt had just had enough.
Matt made it sound like it was a reflexive moment. I don't think that was a reflexive moment.
I think he had his finger on the trigger.
I don't think that was a spur-of-the-moment decision. I think that's a decision he has been fighting with for a long time. And by long time, I mean a long time.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. He had his finger on the trigger, and then bam, just went with it. But he was, predisposed to yanking him either this week or next. I'm convinced of that. Okay, now we move forward. And the minute Foles comes in and leads this tremendous comeback, you see everything we've all seen. He's poised. He can read defenses.
He looks like he's
played
the position.
He throws a much better ball. Now, if we can get Anthony Miller a little more consistent, that worries me, dropping the previous touchdown pass. But Nick is
the young
just,
kid Mooney had a drop, too, I believe.
Yeah, he
on the
did.
Sideline.
He did, but he was a rookie, so I'm going to let him go.
No, I like him, too. I think he's a really good player.
And then you saw Nick on the sidelines.
I saw
being
that.
Being very demonstrative, yelling
talking
at some offensive players.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say yelling. I want to say encouraging and just making
leading.
It clear what needs to be done. You don't see that with Mitch. So I'm excited. But again, that caller was great as I walked in. What do you do in the future? Nick's not your future. Let's just worry about this year. And then Pace is going to be entrusted to draft another quarterback. So that perpetuates something that Bear fans really don't want to deal with right now because we don't trust Ryan Pace. So on and on and on and on. I'm just excited for tonight with Mahomes and Jackson.
Yeah.
And you'll see two spectacular quarterbacks play. And then for the Bears, I think you're going to pick the Colts to win this.
Right now, I'm thinking that I'm going to pick the Colts to win. I think it's a good team. Like the one thing that would sway me, the Bears win this game against the Colts because look, I don't expect this offense to all of a sudden remind you of the Air Coryell Chargers. I've always whether it was Mitch or it's Nick, be average. An average in the NFL
but
using last year's stats.
But I think they're going to throw more without Tariq, even though they do throw to Tariq.
I think they're going to.
You're going to see Montgomery and Patterson a lot. Patterson can catch the football.
I still think they're going to run the football. They'll run it from different formations, but I still think they're going to run it. Look, I asked at the start of the season for 350 yards and 23 points per game. That was average for the NFL last year. And my premise was if they could be average on offense and above average like they've been on defense, which they need to tighten some things up, you're going to win more than you lose. So, like, my expectation level for Nick Foles isn't now all of a sudden the Green Bay Packers and scoring 30 a game. Just be consistent, execute the offense, make your layups. And by layups, I mean when the coach schemes open Anthony Miller, hit him every time.
And
don't miss your layups.
Nothing more enjoyable than watching Aaron Rodgers flick 50-yard bombs and drop them right in. He was so cocky and so cool. And so, he was just spectacular. So
he's
all those
on
people
an FU
said,
tour is what he is right now.
Absolutely yeah. is. And he makes undrafted and high round receivers, I should say, look like number one picks. And that stat you talked about, he's thrown to one.
How about, did you guys see this stat? And I know it's been out there for a while. Do you realize in Aaron Rodgers' decorated career, he's thrown a ton of touchdown passes. He's thrown two touchdown passes to guys who were former first round picks. Both of them to Mercedes Lewis, tight end who made one of the catches last night. Two. That tells you that they have never supplied him with a top, at least a one of the receivers that came out of college that was well regarded.
He's made Devontae Adams a superstar.
Second or third round pick.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was.
They're a much better team than
I
thought.
You know, I'm actually going to pick the Bears against the Colts because last week I decided I can't keep focusing on the opposition because there are a lot of bad teams in the NFL, especially this year with no preseason and limited training camp. And, you know, I think they can pull it out. I think it's going to be a very close game. But, yeah, I guess we just have to go week by week because Nick is not the future, but he is certainly the present, and the present looks halfway decent, somewhat encouraging.
I said I made this analogy. Chris, did you give us your analogy yet? I asked you for one. Did you make it?
Yeah. Abdallah hung up on that caller like Trubisky misses receivers down the field. He botched it.
Was that your analogy?
Abdallah
had a good one. If you ask me.
My analogy with watching the game, I've given you a couple bad analogies, but watching the first three games of the season and going back last year, I said, is like being, have you ever ridden in the back of a flatbed pickup?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're going down the highway 65.
Girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford.
I'm just saying, like, you're not in the cab, you're in the back.
Yeah.
Which is illegal, so I'm not advising people to do it. It can be exhilarating if you've had a few.
And you're not part of the conversation.
Or it could be dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I have felt sitting on my couch watching this offense with Mitch under center or in the shotgun or wherever he's at. Like, I'm in the back of a flatbed truck.
No seatbelts, nothing.
I'm 53 years old. I need to be in the back of a sedan and an Uber with my seatbelt on. And I feel like that's what I'm going to get with Nick Foles.
Okay.
I'm going to start I'm going to watch the games with less angst. I'm not going to tell you it's perfect. I'm not telling you we're going to score 30 points. But I do feel confident that he can process the information that he sees and that the ball is going to go where it's supposed to go. Will it get there? Don't know.
I get it. When you see an accomplished quarterback in a groove, in a rhythm, that's when the game is really great to watch. That's why Aaron Rodgers is so great to watch. That's why Patrick Mahomes,
you as a
fan,
you're comfortable when you have confidence that the quarterback is comfortable in his own skin.
It's like, call the play, boom, snap, boom. There it is. Boom, boom, boom. And you're just matriculating, you know?
Yes.
That's a great analogy. You know, I grew up with metal dashboards, no seatbelts. Yeah. Hanging on the back.
Yeah. What was your analogy, Abdallah?
On the trunk.
I thought you had a good one.
Something about peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, no. It was a jar of jelly. Yeah. It was about a toddler holding a jar of jelly. You know that jar is going to, the toddler's going to drop that jar of jelly.
It's a matter of
you
when.
You just don't know where and when. And it's going to be a mess when they do.
With Nick, he made the sandwich, an adult is eating it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Or it's just a toddler with really big hands.
This was the other analogy that I made that you may like even better.
Big hands, Nick.
I said, when you need, I'll give you an example. Your entire offensive coaching staff gets the runs and has to go to the bathroom and is there for 15 minutes. You need a quarterback that in case it takes 15 or 20 minutes for them to come back, that you know knows he could stand in there and call his own plays for a while.
How about this? Nick is like an old TV dinner where all the food is separated in little compartments so it doesn't run together. So the meatloaf and the gravy doesn't get on the potatoes or the peas. Everything is individual, and then you just choose from those little buckets.
It's organized.
Okay.
You feel confident with it, right?
I'm hungry now, too.
More of that stuff with Mark Giangreco when we come back. Mark's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, of course, located LaSalle and the River. Great place, great meals, great atmosphere. Great drinks, great everything. I think you and I need to go over there sometime very shortly as
tonight,
well.
Maybe.
And when we come back, I got some baseball thoughts for you as well. Do you understand what's going on with this entire Chris Bryant narrative?
No, but I understand it, but I don't understand it.
We'll get to that when we come back. All right, Mark. Mark, what do you make of our two baseball teams in town? Both will obviously both have reached the postseason. Cubs are going to host the Marlins. White Sox are in Oakland to take on the A's.
I hate to say this. I think the Sox are going to get swept, but I think the Cubs are going to sweep the Marlins. I think the A's are going to be too much for the Sox. The Sox are going in just stumbling, fumbling, just fell apart the last couple of weeks of the season. The Cubs not much better, but they end on a little bit of a high note, and the Marlins are the Marlins. So that's the way I see it, unfortunately.
What's going on with all the butthurtness of the KB thing? I mean, like all the people that are...
Chris Bryant took the Twitter bait. I think we have some writers and reporters who think they're asking the question that fans are asking and are representing Twitter trolls. And I get KB's frustration because, you know, it's been building. And the I don't give a thing, I think he let his guard down and showed a little bit of weakness there. He shouldn't have said anything. He should have said, I don't even pay any attention.
I don't give a
right.
Which is fantastic. But, I mean, like, isn't there a difference between Twitter criticism and actual questions? I mean, like, what are the Cubs going to do with Chris Bryant? That question has been out there for a couple of years.
The Twitter criticism hit him and stung him because the actual conversation with management is you missed 100 games.
In the last 3 years.
3 years. Okay, you're always hurt. We can't give you that kind of money. We love you. You know, rookie of the year, MVP, everything else, boom, boom, boom. Did you peak too early? I don't know. Look, he's still a great player.
Of course. Obviously. He's their best hitter.
Obviously. Is he often injured? Yes, that needs to be addressed. Unfortunately, that's a little chip when you're negotiating and you're on management's side.
I'm not
like,
even
you can use that and be legit about it. You're not slighting him in any way. But look, we have to factor this in. This is a fact. Now, a lot of fans, and I'd like to think that coaches and managers and people in the front office don't think this way anymore. Because, I mean, back in the Neanderthal macho days, I'm sure this was a factor as well. You're always hurt. That means you're weak. You know, there's a difference between being hurt and injured. You know, you always hear that. And you're weak. You can't play through it. You're not really giving best effort. You're not rehabbing correctly. You're not preventing injuries. You know, all this stuff could still come up, even though I think that's unfair.
Well, I wouldn't even go there with it. I mean, that like, I'm not calling him soft or anything like that. But availability is a big commodity
that's
here.
That's what it comes down to.
And like you said, he's missed 100 games in the last 3 years. And this is all in the context of the question is, what does the future look like on the north side? You've got a bunch of guys that you've got to make decisions on. Chris is going to be a free agent after another year, right? So
let me bring up what you said months ago. You think Rizzo and Bryant are both gone. They're going to pay Javi, even though he just swings at everything. He's hitting a .190. You know, he keeps getting moved down in the lineup. I think for the flash and the fan appeal and the TV appeal and everything else, that goes in Baez's favor. He is one of the most talented human beings in all of sports, no question. An absolute premier entertainer. I don't know where they go with this. One of those three or two of those three are not going to be here
next
year.
Mark, if I was a Cub fan, I'd want them all. Because I still think Chris Bryant's their best overall hitter.
Yeah,
like his availability hasn't been there the last 3 years.
Do you think you can get Javi to be a disciplined hitter? I don't think so.
No, I think
they're
going to
let him free swing. There are exceptions.
Do you think I can get Mitch to read a defense consistently?
No, never.
I mean, that's...
There are exceptions to every rule, and every player is treated differently. Schwarber gets benched for supposedly dogging a fly ball and not being in position or whatever. What's Hobby doing? He dogs it from the plate. If he thinks he's flying out or he thinks he hits a home run, it's not out. He doesn't get benched for that. So, yeah, managers and coaches treat players differently.
I just think the whole Bryant thing to me is very odd.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the questions are asked in context to what does the future hold. Like, what is the... Ask the president of baseball ops.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go after the Twitter trolls. Ask why the contract hasn't been signed. And I mean, I don't know. What is he asking for? 300? I think if you're asking for... I don't know what he's asking for. If you're asking for a couple $100 million or $250 million or $300 million, whatever you're asking for, I think it's a fair question to ask. Is it worth it considering you've missed 100 games? And why aren't you the same player you were in 15, 16, and 17? You're still good. You
went
to the All-Star
game.
It's
like when you're buying a house or selling a house, you look at comps, and that's what the negotiation is going to be about. So it's going to be a list of players just like him, and this is what they make, and this is their history of injuries and production. That's what the discussion is going to be. But, Tommy, athletes are different nowadays. Social media has changed everything. Athletes break their own stories with their own Twitter handles and their own Facebook pages and everything else. It is hard not to be stung by criticism, even though it's unwarranted and comes from ridiculous source.
Well, that's my point.
Uninformed sources. You know, fans who are so emotional and have no information and no facts. It's hard for a young athlete to look away and ignore it. It's really, really difficult. So,
listen, it reminds me of the old Lovey
Smith. He double-clutched and blurted something out, and I think he really regrets it.
Marcus reminds me a little bit of the Lovey Smith Bears. Like, he would tell his guys, they were picked by every sports writer and every football analyst on the face of the planet to finish 12-4, 11-5, 13-3, and you're going to win the division. And every day, Lovey would walk in and tell them how nobody respected them and they were getting nobody thinks you're any good.
Yeah.
Like, if that's what it takes and Chris comes out and he kills the baseball, if that's the motivation, then have at it. I just think it's kind of, you're swinging at ghosts right now. I think the majority
of people. It goes back to the Aaron Rodgers FU tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to show everybody. So maybe this is a self-motivating thing. It's not a tactic that he, you know, it wasn't premeditated or anything. I think he knows he made a mistake by even responding and acknowledging it. But now he has to use it as motivation. So down the road, he can tweet that instead of saying it in a press conference.
Like I said, I still think he's their best overall hitter.
Yeah.
Injuries have robbed him of the year this year. To me, it's a matter of, okay, I would want you as a Cub. At what price? That, to me, is the conversation.
He knows he's going to have to settle for less, unfortunately. He sees that, and I think that's part of the frustration.
Huge game tonight. Who are you picking?
Well, I'll be cheering for Mahomes for sure in the Chiefs. But, the Ravens are just...
They're such a good football team.
They're unstoppable at both sides of the ball.
And they're so good early in the season as well.
Yeah, this is going to be a true football game between two spectacular quarterbacks, the two best right now. And
I'd have to go with the home team. I'd have to go with the Ravens tonight.
But nobody's going to be there.
Thank you, Marky.
Good to see you.
Mark Giangreco, obviously, as always, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. It's a Bears victory Monday. Baseball shows up just in a few moments. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah will get all your baseball thoughts and tell you what you need to know. Thank you to Jeff Dickerson today, Mark Giangreco as well. Bears are 3-0, so enjoy it. It's a Bears victory Monday. Everyone have a great evening. This is ESPN 1000.
That was a big thrill. Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.